still the original, still the best, now for more than 12 years. Is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron, and I'm your host and friend, Brian Kilby. With me this week, I have XV, John DeLuna, Rob Clay, J.D. Church, and Peter Van. Hey guys, how's it going?
Yo.
Not bad.
XV looks constipated.
He is constipated.
He's a little tough poo.
For people listening to the podcast version, XV looks constipated. There you go.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm trying to be mindful of our podcast listeners, which can constitute like 95% of our audience. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah, we put a little too much effort into this video thing. So this is.
I've been saying that for a couple of years now, Brian.
I like doing it. It's complicated and hard.
Just like my poop.
That's convoluted and hard. Okay, so this is Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. We are the official podcast of tformers.com, and we pretty much rock. Actually, I posted this to this is almost braggadocious, but I just want to say this anyway. If you've listened to another Transformers podcast before, they were in one way or another inspired by us. We apologize. So
we are so
they're all knockoffs.
So sorry.
Oops.
So sorry. They were all made in China.
It's like
the real stuff is made in China.
Does that mean that they're third party podcasts or?
Yes, basically we are Hasbro. Not really. So basically, we have nothing to talk about this week. No, I'm kidding. We actually have stuff to talk about.
We talked about all the good stuff before the show, though.
We did talk about all of the good stuff before.
The porn, the racism, the rice.
Yeah. Porn, racism, and rice. That's
the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand, yeah. We are all big fans of Ayn Rand.
Good night, everybody. Oh.
And Brian's from an awesome state. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Hating on North Carolina this week, man.
Everyone is hating on North Carolina. It's, yeah.
And they should. So,
you know, 30 other states did it first.
This is what happens when we have.
That's not a defense,
picks.
Brian.
No, but that's a. Wait, this one was a constitutional ban versus a law.
Yeah,
well, not only that, they completely... Anyway, this is not a political podcast.
Yeah,
so.
Rob put Ultra Magnus into this conversation. Save us.
Yeah, so...
and that's why Rodimus was better than...
Let me fix this. Let me fix this conversation.
I've never seen a more beautiful puppy.
But let me fix this
Hand
conversation.
Me the peanut butter toll.
I'll fix this conversation. Ultra Magnus.
This guy's kissing... That
Ultra
was
Mammoth.
Stated in episode, in season 3.
Ultra Mammoth.
No. Ultra Mammoth.
Ultra Mammoth.
By the way, I don't see anything about Ayn Rand cosplaying. I think you guys lied to me.
Oh.
Yes.
She just talked about that.
This is a comment on his
man,
fashion.
This has been bugging Peter for like 10 minutes. I do not
Brian,
see her. Where is
why
this?
Why is it not on Google?
Jeez.
She just dressed very costumey. That's
she did. She did.
They tried to tell me the Fountainhead was about cosplay, but there is nothing in this. No Slash, nothing.
There's no Troa. There's no nothing.
Yeah, there's no Weifu or Wufei, pardon me.
Weifu.
It's been
I
like
think that's a slightly different concept.
It's been like 12 years since I've watched that show.
Duel/Hero.
Hey, I watched episode 1 on the treadmill at work, which blows my mind, but it was also massively disappointing. Episode 1 of Gundam Wing is one of the worst things you could ever put yourself through if you've seen it before.
Is it really?
If you've seen it before, yeah.
If you've seen it before, if you haven't seen it before, you're like, oh, wow, this is like the most anime thing that's ever animated in anime.
Yeah.
But if you've seen it before and you know
not
where it's going to go in 70 episodes.
Yeah, I know. Then it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a good
point. Just a prelude to more pain. That's all.
That's all right. But that's okay because you know that once you get done watching Gundam Wing, you can always watch E-Gundam and then you feel better.
Yeah, I wrote this.
I suppose,
I wrote this troll fanfic back in about 2001, 2002 about me actually in third person watching Gundam Wing and just going bonkers because it had nothing to do with Transformers. And I actually wrote a letter to the in this fanfic that I wrote about myself under an assumed name. I wrote a letter to the president of Cartoon Network, who is Hong Kong Fooey, and I complained about the distinct lack of Transformers. He sent me a gift pack, which included an autographed picture of Hong Kong Fooey, some Gundam Wing action figures, and a life. That's one of the proudest things I've ever done.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. That sounds about right.
That was that's basically how Alt Toys Transformers actually worked.
Yes, so. if you want to know what it was like back in the day to be on ATT, it's basically that.
Yeah, no pictures or anything. It's all text.
No pictures. Imagine 300 fanboys and one fangirl going just insane over text. Descriptions of things in text.
Yeah.
We didn't have emoticons back then, did we?
We had like colons and parentheses.
We had ASCII art. That happened, I think, occasionally.
Oh, boy, did we have ASCII.
And it was around that time that people actually still used the post office, right?
Dawn is asking if that was Raksha. No, she had moved on by that point.
That was Gen 1, who I still believe was Zobivore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well.
You're going way back.
Going way back. God.
Yeah, way to date yourself, guys. Let's bring the 5-year-old into conversation.
Man, those discussions on Prodigy, let me tell you.
Is it meta and hilarious that Flame War is going to actually be like a real production?
I know, isn't that crazy?
Like that just blows my mind. I mean, because that's just, I mean, it does no one, because no one seemed to go crazy at BotCon over this.
I laugh. I'm like, wow.
Like, did I miss out? Like, this wasn't talked about last week. I'm assuming I missed last week's show. Because I don't think we talked about this Flame War thing. Because we're desperate for things to talk about.
Well, start talking, my man.
So apparently I'm talking. So they're doing it. Now, is this a repaint? This is a repaint, right? I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember what the toy was of. I just remember that there was a Flame War toy.
They're doing a Flame War toy, right? Now, Flame War was a character from, was it 04 BotCon?
2005.
Or 05. Okay, 05. So it's from 05 BotCon. But the whole joke from Flame War was in reference to like ATT and like all the, and correct me if I'm wrong, but right, I mean basically there was the mass, there was like the Great Flame War, which was what, was it 99?
I feel really silly talking about things like Great Flame Wars, so I just tend to ignore and glaze over that. I just basically hit that period of the G1 fans and the Beast Wars fans where they didn't get along.
Yeah, yeah, and so
there was no Rodney King to unite them.
Yeah, yeah. But the character's like based on that name, and I was like, that's where that whole thing comes from. So now it's like gone completely full circle, and Hasbro's picked up the name, and they're actually doing a Prime Redeco. So they're actually doing a production character that will be on the shelf called Flame War, and I'm just like, that's crazy.
So that was pretty crazy. I think that tops. It doesn't satisfy me as much, but I think that tops. Hasbro releasing a Big Daddy figure.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, well, that's crazy in like a whole different way, because that's just like, I mean, that's like a whole, that is like that fan thing coming into fruition.
Yeah.
This is just like, this is a reference to some of the oldest aspects of the fan community, you know, and a name that they probably just had laying around and like, whatever, you know, I can't even imagine how much thought went into it.
I think they probably just pulled the name out of the hat because they needed to renew the IP or the trademark or let it go.
Yeah. But it's just funny to me.
The deco of this Flame War is going to be similar to the BotCon toy though.
Really?
Really? Well, that's even easier. That's a complete BotCon character, you know, basically coming into sort of the mainstream reality of toys. Has it gone that way before?
Before was oh goodness, was Banzaitron a Blintron first? What was Banzaitron originally?
And no, it was a Banzaitron
Master.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking of Blintron.
A Blintron.
No, there was no Blintron named Banzaitron.
Yeah. Okay, just making sure.
Sorry.
So right. This is probably
that's okay, boss.
But that's a whole other thing. Is this is a BotCon character, a uniquely BotCon character that is, you know, essentially coming into the toy mainstream. Crazy world that we're living in. That would never have even come into like the mindset. Well, first of all, most BotCon toys, you know, previous had just been repaints or, you know, pre-existing characters in a lot of instances.
Yeah, I think you can almost say that this is one of the, you know, 1,000 monkeys typing at 1,000 typewriters. Eventually, they're going to write, you know, Shakespeare. I mean, eventually something crazy like this had to happen after all the thousands of toys that have come out over the years. I mean, Big Daddy. Come on.
Yeah.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy's great.
The cool thing about Big Daddy, though, oh man, BotCon, there was something that came out basically because of fan reaction that was announced, and I can't remember what the big deal was. People were saying, we want this, we want this, we want this. It's not ringing a bell. But Big Daddy came about by like 4 people in the fandom every year saying, we want Big Daddy. Will you make a new Big Daddy? And they did it.
And yet Don has still not gotten
Don has never gotten a Headmaster RC, nor will he ever. I'm sorry, Don. I love you, though.
Yeah, I really hate to say that, but that is the truth. I mean, the only way you'll ever see a Headmaster RC would be a BotCon exclusive, and that's not going to happen either.
No.
So.
You might see it like as a TFCon exclusive or something crazy like that, like something that a third party puts together.
Yeah, it'd have to be a third party deal.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, I'll say the walkie does have a lot of hot shots, but
This is true.
And Shatterglass is all his fault.
Right.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So basically, we've made a conscious decision to pull back on the news, which is convenient because there basically is no news this week worth talking about.
That may be why we did that. I don't.
It might be. You know, correlation sometimes may prove causation. Sometimes, but. There was quite a bit of comic stuff going on, and we do in a few minutes. We are going to have a Comics Corner with Amy. She's going to recap Robots in Disguise number 4 and Regeneration number 80.5. Also, after that, JD interviewed John Barber this weekend. We're going to play a clip of that. JD, why don't you tell us about that interview that you had?
Sure. Well, it wasn't just me. It was the cast of Fanboy Versus. Of course, this past week was our 100th episode. I actually got to meet John Barber at BotCon. Ran into him at the IDW booth and introduced myself and told him we were going to have our 100th anniversary show coming up and asked him if he was willing to be on.
You guilted him into it, basically.
Do what?
You guilted him into it. You said, Gail Simone is not going to do it for me. Will you please do this?
No. Actually, my original plan was to have both of them on, but that
failed. Yeah, that fell through.
But no, I mean, he was super cool. He was like super excited to be, you know, on our 100th episode. So we had him on. I had him on live and talked to him. So you'll see an excerpt. I think the whole version. There's a whole version up on YouTube, and you can also watch our 100th episode. That's up as well.
Yeah, the 100th episode is right now the only version. We actually don't have a version of just the interview. I need to put that up.
You should put that up before this goes like live.
I guess I should. I was trying to get people to actually listen to your podcast, but never mind.
Was it like 2 hours and 45 minutes long?
At least.
It is almost 3 hours long. Sad. It's about double for a – so it's a double-sized episode from what we would normally do.
I think last week's shows, the theme basically was Avengers, and this week is like comics, which is tied to the Avengers. But
we did There is a link to the John Barber interview on T-Formers as well. So
yay,
awesome, yay.
Fantastic. But yeah, I read Regeneration 80.5 and I liked it pretty good. I think we can talk about it a little more after Amy does her formal review before we sort of disagree with her. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. This video that Amy does, and I'm just gonna say this up front now because. She's not here to defend herself.
Nice.
So basically, she was so frustrated because she tried it like 5 or 6 times. I don't want to laugh, but you know, I've been there and I've had stuff not work before. But it's just kind of funny seeing how sort of pissed off she is. I've never seen Amy pissed off ever.
Well, there was really? The Hall of Fame dinner thing.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame.
Well, that was on Twitter. That was on Twitter. I've never seen her in video or in person pissed off.
Oh.
You've never seen her, like, yell at her children?
Not yell at her children. Oh. Now, she did tell me that she wanted to trade her children.
Anyway, that's just, you know, yelling at kids.
That's not being angry. That's just yelling at your children.
That's basically like sneezing.
I yell at people's children all the time. But yeah, so let's go ahead and we'll go to that, and after we'll come back and sort of talk about Regeneration 1. And those who actually watched Prime this past weekend, which is, does not include me, can talk about it, and I'll just make fun of them. So.
Oh, God.
That sounds good. I didn't watch it either. So.
Good.
I can't
wait. We can just skip it.
We'll be back right after this.
Now time for Comic News with Amy Morgan.
Hello, this is Amy with another Transformers News and Reviews in 5 minutes. I have tried to record this video several times and it's failed every time, so it better work this time because I ain't doing it again. And I'm working on very little sleep. See? I have rings. My eyes. Ah! My husband's out of town and my recluse are eating me alive. And I'm running on fumes, so I'm going to be really short this week, especially since I want to do a very light edit on this video. And I didn't want to skip this week because we got hit with Free Comic Book Day, and I really want to gush about Regeneration 1, at least for a few minutes. So, I'm going to show a little bit real quick. Some good stuff. There's lots of good stuff in here. Some of these images have been teased already on the internet, so I'm not going to dwell too much on some of it. It's really good. They did a good job with it. And, of course, last page, I want to gush about that because, yeah. Okay, so the Furman Wildman team has basically put a teaser issue that gives us a premise of intention. This issue can almost be read in two parts. One being the compositions that quickly sum up the past, like this. It calls to attention a lot of moments throughout the previous 80 issues and then some, you know, all the stuff that we got a long time ago. A lot of it I didn't really get, which is not bad. I mean, it just means I haven't read all of your other Marvel stuff, so I'm really not sure. I'm one of those target audience people that'd be like picking it up going, okay, I've never read the other stuff. I kind of saw a little bit of it and I wasn't interested. So I'm kind of like that target audience. The art, for me, let's just say that I'm thrilled to see Wildman and his style again. We haven't had it since ongoing the first 6 issues when he did covers. It's not Alex Milne detailed, but it has a very organic feel that a newer, modern printing press fan like me can appreciate. That charm. It's very charming. I like it. The second part of this comic is one that gives us a tease as to what we should expect to come out of 81 and beyond. And because this comic was free, and in some places people couldn't get it, I'm going to tell you what it sets up. We get a Cybertron at peace being watched over by the last Autobot. Now, I know that there are a lot more knowledgeable fans out there than me, but basically the last Autobot is like a guardian for peace. He's standing watch over a peaceful Cybertron. But a group of Decepticons aren't happy about this, and Soundwave is leading them. They're hoping that Megatron will return. And he's gathering as many of them as he can. And the Autobots know about them. So Cup and Ultramagnus go to Optimus Prime to tell him about it, and he receives them very coldly. And they tell him about the Decepticon uprising, and he pretty much tells them that if they do anything, it will only encourage them. When Megatron's return doesn't happen, they will lose support and it will die. So ignore them. Hot Rod will now show you out. So it's very cold. The cons make their big move. They take a transmitter and point an orbital defense satellite meant to destroy asteroids at Cybertron, And then they showed it, and they pulverized the last Autobot to complete and total bits. And based on the expressions alone of the last page, wow, what a smashing start. I'm totally on board with this after seeing this. I'm already ready to pick up 81 because I want it. I want the next issue. I want to know what's going to happen. And I want to see what Simon has got in store for us. Because, yeah, the piece is over with. And Soundwave has just stuck his middle finger up at the Autobot-controlled Cybertron. Things are about to get real. So, yeah. If you haven't had a chance to get this issue, it's free. I don't think it's required for 81 and beyond. I'm sure it's going to get traded. So don't go and get this at an insane price on eBay. Just be patient. It could still be put on Comixology for free. I have been trying to find it. I haven't found it there yet. When I talked with John Paul Bove, he definitely expressed that this isn't an issue that is required for 81. So follow me on Twitter. If I see anything that is out there, a way that you can get a hold of it, I will be tweeting the heck out of it. So you can do that. Lastly, Autocracy 9 is out today. There was a bit of delay on the Comixology app for this issue. I haven't looked online to see if it is different there, but I did find it on the IDW app. So if you are waiting around for it and you don't want to wait any longer, buy it with the IDW app and just restore over on the other on the Comixology app. It's an extra step or two, but it's out there if you want to purchase it. This issue picks up a bit after the last. You know, I wanted to show you stuff, but, like, really, you can't really see it anyhow. So I'll just flip through here real quick. Get the glare off. Glare. Wonderful. This is what happens when you have a backlit, right? So this issue picks up a bit after the last. Megatron destroyed Zeta last issue and betrayed Orion Pax by shooting a hole through him and dropping him into a deep pit. So in this issue, he wakes up in that deep pit, strangely not dead, but it could be that something nearby is pushing him forward as the Matrix finds him. Meanwhile, the Autobots are hiding from the cons, still unaware of what happened to Orion until they get found out. And the rest you will have to read. Some good stuff happens again in this issue. It's a solid 4 for me. I like how this issue went. While some of the previous issues felt rushed, this one slowed down, and it did give some pretty good payoff for what the series set, what this series set up at the beginning. This hole in Orion's chest that is empty. Well, they fill it on multiple levels. There was a hole there on multiple levels already, but you know, yeah, they fill it on multiple levels. So, I like how it really feels like this fits in IDW continuity. So go and get this issue. It's really great, and I highly recommend. Well, that's it for me. Hopefully the audio worked on this, and hopefully next week I'll be back on full power and back to my rested self. So we'll see you then.
You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, J.D. Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
We're a little interested in July because we hear there's going to be Dinobots and Decepticons and things going on. What if anything, can you tell us? I mean, obviously our listeners weren't at the panel, so what can you tell us about it?
July is Decepticon month, so we've got in More Than Meets the Eye, we finally meet the Decepticon Justice Division, which James has been teasing out, I think, since Bullets in the Wreckers trade, last end of the Wreckers trade, for anybody that doesn't religiously follow Transformers. So we'll finally see who they are. They're sort of the ultra-loyalists to Megatron. They're they're the ones that go after the Decepticons that go bad. Like, they're the sort of the worst of the worst. If you're an Autobot or a rogue Decepticon. we'll finally get a chance to see them. Meanwhile, in More Than Meets the... I'm sorry, in Robots in Disguise, the one I write, Turmoil, who was in the Drift one-shot, and the Drift briefly in the Drift Limited series, and was presumed dead, is back, and he's on Cybertron. And Bumblebee and Metalhawk and the whole group has to figure out what to do with this really terrible Decepticon showing up. Do they let him in? Do they treat him like a normal Cybertronian? But I think the big news really is August is Dinobot month. That's going to run across all the Transformers books, including Regeneration 1. And it's not an event that you have to read every, you know, it doesn't start in one and go to the next. Obviously, Regeneration 1 takes place in a totally different universe. It's part of that just actually worked out really coincidentally. you're not going to believe this, but they like Grimlock in Regeneration 1.
Really? I can't imagine why.
I don't know.
Simon Furman kind of likes the character, so he's showing up. So we'll have Regeneration 1. We'll have Action Master Grimlock taking center stage. Meanwhile, in the regular IDW Comics universe, Grimlock's going to be coming back. We haven't seen him since he disappeared from Garrus 9. It was about 5 years in continuity. I think it was a little bit less in real time. So we haven't seen him for a very long time. We don't know what he's been up to, and he's going to be showing up in More Than Meets the Eye. And meanwhile, the rest of the Dinobots are going to be returning to Cybertron and Robots in Disguise, and Ironhide's going to be leading them into the Cybertronian wilderness, so we'll finally get a chance to explore what's going on outside of Iacon and the farther reaches of Cybertron.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
So, yeah, we were talking during the break about this. I'm like, let's save this, because we'll probably end up using this. So, JD, why don't you tell us actually what you were saying during the break?
I was just talking about, and I think Rob was mentioning that he hadn't been reading much of the IDW. We were saying that, you know, it's actually really good right now. And I don't know if it was on the clip or not, but one of the things that I sort of talked to John Barber about was about the takes on both More Than Meets the Eye and on Robots in Disguise. My opinion of More Than Meets the Eye is that it's sort of a take on The Odyssey, which John sort of agreed with in terms of that it's an adventure story, it's a quest story in that way. So it does sort of relate to that. But as far as Robots in Disguise, I think what was interesting is what he said about it, is that it's sort of his take in a very light and sort of twisted way on like a Game of Thrones. Like it's the political story, it's the story of what happens after war. You know, there's a lot of plays for power in here, and especially with issue 4. A lot of sort of what I guess in the fandom would be like earth shattering things happen in this issue. So I don't know.
I want to sort of jump off from what you say there. Is there anything really earth shattering in the comic in the fandom anymore? Because I don't know, Transformers and like most series or genres or universes basically regenerates, for lack of a, you know, no pun intended, like every couple of years. So is there anything that's so like devastating that could happen that would just like totally shocks everybody?
No.
Exactly. I mean, like there's never going to be another death of Dinobot.
I don't know. I think there's been a bit of a kerfuffle about, you know, what happened in issue 4 here.
I haven't read it yet. I need to. So, I've got my comiXology right here.
I don't want to spoil that, but I mean, yeah, there's a couple of things in here that are not the typical things that you would expect. And I mean, to be fair to the IDW continuity, it's been a consistent continuity for the last several years.
Like a soft reboot or something, basically, wasn't there?
Yeah, but I think it's been pretty consistent since, what, All Hail Megatron, like right after that?
I like to be able to say that there's a Transformers comic that's published that I read, instead of a Transformers comic that's published that I just buy.
Yeah,
which is how I basically put it for years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and in all respect to John, I think More Than Meets the Eye is probably the stronger of the two, just because, and I think it's more of a subject matter. I don't think everybody's going to gravitate to a, you know, if you have a choice between a quest story or a political drama, I think you're going to probably choose the quest story. So that's, and I think some of the art has to do with that as well.
Yeah, I would agree.
So. But I don't want to undercut Robots in Disguise either. I mean, especially with this last issue, there's some damned interesting things going on and some, you know, pretty serious choices that have been made by some of the characters that are, you know, going to play out over the course of the rest of this series, you know, turning points, if you will. So, you know, I think it's definitely not to be missed. I think it's even slightly underrated in that way. But no, it's really good. I really, again, I appreciate, you know, John Barber coming on and talking to us. And he even answered a sort of candid question about that I ask about regeneration, you know, in the sense, and maybe this will segue into our discussion of that, which is that, yeah, this is something that the fans have really asked for and begged for, you know, saying, yeah, we definitely want this regeneration one, but
I don't get it.
Yeah, but that, so my question was, you know, how confident are you, you know, that this is going to make it? You know, is this going to really, you know, cut it? And they've put a lot behind it in terms of doing that, the 80.5 as their free comic book, but, I'm a little scared. Now, he did say, and we did get confirmed, that it is a limited run. It is 20 issues.
20 issues. Unless it sells really well, then it's an unlimited run.
I think that's unlikely. But I know that Furman said that he has scripted out to issue 100, and the plan is to end it at that point. So
yeah, I mean, this is an obvious point, but it's not like back in the, you know, 80s and 90s when you had to sell 200,000 comics to keep going. They could probably, you know...
Oh, if you sold 200,000 comics, you would be like the best-selling comic book company.
They could limit buy with probably 10 or 15,000, probably less than that.
Oh, probably less than that, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if all the trans fans actually bought it, we might be able to get, you know, stilted fiction.
My concern is that only a fraction, and I'm saying like half or so, of the people who actually threw a fuss and said that they wanted this will actually buy this comic.
I have to say it is pretty cool, though, to get a comic with an Action Master Grimlock.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's, again, that's something to look for, you know, come August, I think, is going to be that issue with him, so.
Yeah, so I who here did not read 80.5?
I don't have one yet.
It's, really, John. Et tu, John? It's not bad.
I'm afraid so.
I mean, it's predictable. It's Furman.
How many of us that read it called it like on the third page?
Well, I had already heard you call it before I read it, because I read it last night in bed, and I read it. Without spoiling it, because we shouldn't spoil it unless Amy did. And I honestly wasn't listening to the whole thing. I was carrying on a conversation with you guys.
The truth. The truth.
Oh,
you know, I actually post entire segments and entire shows without ever listening to them. You could like totally get by like posting, you know,
sweet
JD porn.
I am so gonna sneak that in. It's gonna be video of me talking, but I'm gonna like undercut it with like Brian poops in his Cheerios.
It'll be JD man boobs on video, like wall to wall.
Oh, I'm just gonna put in Lady Chatterley. And maybe a little vintage Emmanuel.
But I read it and. I don't know. The whole comic was structured in kind of a strange way. It was kind of like flashback or flash forward or whatever it was from scene to scene to scene that just seemed kind of forced. The structure of the whole issue just didn't work for me.
Well, let's be fair. I mean, this was a free comic. It was a preview issue. This is really meant to sort of
entice people
in a part way. Yeah, entice and in a part way to sort of bridge not the gap, but the gap. You know,
yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah,
please.
And considering there was that, you know, 20-year gap in between, this gets the recap issue out of the way before the regular run begins. So,
exactly.
Yeah, and the thing is, if they this recap really seems to me is geared toward people who really know what happened in the latter run of Transformers comics for Marvel. Like, I don't really. Of course, the comic is entirely fan requested, and that's what I was trying to think of earlier. It's basically, you know, something that the fans wanted, but I'm certain they really hope that it'll sell to like a wider audience. And it's the Furman run on the Marvel Transformers book, you know, in the grand scheme of things, is still pretty obscure. And I think if they hit the ground running without really tying the comic up. What happened to where it makes sense or is interesting, that it's going to sell really bad really quick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that was something else that John, I mean, that John Barber kind of answered that question as well when we talked about the 80.5, that, you know, this is a preview issue. The issues are not going to be like this. They're not going to be structured like this. They're not going to be formatted like this. So what you saw in the 80.5 is not what you should be expecting out of, you know, the run itself.
I'll buy it either way, but yeah. 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 I mean, I will. I mean, it's – I really like – that's a stretch. I like the Furman run. I like the Budiansky run a lot more. But I like the Furman run on the Marvel comic. It's interesting. It's quintessentially Simon Furman. It has its own, you know, quality. I can define my appreciation of the comic by its own quality. I don't have to say, well, I like it because it reminds me of this, or I like it because I think it's really good. I like it because it's Furman. It's just Furman-y, basically. And if I can get more of that, you know, every month, just new stuff, which is probably going to be rehashed stuff, but new stuff, it's not like me reading those, you know, same UK comics, you know, a dozen times over the last 20 years, or the, you know, reading the last 15 or 20, G1 comics from Marvel, you know, 15 or 20 times over the last 20 years. Getting something new is pretty cool. That's tied to that universe somewhat loosely, but directly. That makes any sense. No, it doesn't. So, yeah. but really the role, I can appreciate it as something separate, like a continuation, but not a continuation, because in my mind, in my heart, G2 is the continuation of that stuff.
And G2 was great.
Oh, yeah.
G2 oh, yeah. was surprisingly good. It's probably easily the top five of the Transformers fiction that we ever got. Which that is increasingly becoming a much more competitive list. But yeah, G2 is great. I really like G2. I can still sit down and read G2 now and actually appreciate it on like a real level, not just like a Fermini level.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I mean, I think it's good. And I think, and it is kind of the confusing thing, I guess, that this was clamored for so much, and it looks good, and it looks like it's going to be interesting. But it's still like it's sort of like Chris Mafioli says. This is the third iteration of the post, you know, or maybe this is the fourth iteration. There's been three previous.
Okay, so G2, the tech story that everyone always points to, that was in. Yeah. Oh man, what was that? Was that in a BotCon comic or? Where did that tech story originate? I remember
the tech story
that followed up is the one where Prime and Megatron. It's basically a story where they just meet up and shake hands and talk about what went on. Which, if that really happened, it would be like, "Gee, you really sucked. Gee, you really died a lot," because that's basically what happened with the Marvel run.
Remember Marvel Megatron? He did that.
Marvel Megatron. If you watch Turtles Forever.
He's the Shredder.
Mirage Shredder, yeah.
Yeah, he's
somebody
the
threw a garbage can at him and he fell down and he never saw him again.
Yeah. The most memorable thing that I can ever remember that happened to Megatron in the Marvel comic was that he got punched by himself in the future.
He did get punched by himself in the future and he got fused with Ratchet. That was pretty much
it. The fused with Ratchet part, too. That's classic.
That's classic. But, seriously, kids... The awesome Megatron that you remember from your childhood
didn't
is
exist.
Not the Marvel comic
The awesome Megatron you remember from your childhood didn't exist.
Right? No. Well, first of all, the awesome Megatron you remember from your childhood never happened. Second of all, if it did happen, it's probably from the cartoon.
And you misremember that, like, big time. The toughest, most badass character in the G1 cartoon was the fire retardant foam, basically.
Yeah, or Ultra Magnus, because he blew up an entire plane.
Ultra Magnus was awesome. Fighter Flea is fantastically bad and wonderful, and I love it.
It's so horrible. It's just, oh god.
Oh, we're screwed. Blow it up.
We can't stop a handful of Decepticons. Let's unleash genocide instead.
Yes. Hey, Skeleface is in the chat. He just posted a link to the Digibash of Warbot Defender. So is that a Digibash that they are intending to like make and release, or is it just like something a fan did and put together just show what it would look like? Because I'm actually curious, because I really like Warbot Defender, and I've almost bought it, but it's just too expensive.
Wait, where is it?
Is that what it's supposed to be? It's supposed to be Ultra Magnusy?
Yeah. I mean,
I think the fans project site has a colored mock-up of him.
I mean, when it boils down to it, basically all the BotCon stuff that we get until they actually have a shot is all Digibash stuff, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, at least this came from Fans Project.
Wait a minute, what is this supposed to be? Warbot? Is that what?
Steelcore coming. Hellion Guard, it's secretive.
I mean, it's some kind of, like, Power Master remold, I guess. Or it's a new mold, completely new mold.
But a version of a Power Master.
It says it's got a Heart Master. Which
I have no idea what it's supposed to be.
Breast Master. It doesn't look like anything. Not that I've...
Yeah, he doesn't look like any... And they already did, very obviously, Ultra Magnus, so I have no idea what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not Ultra
Magnus. I mean,
that's pretty cool looking.
Does it look like it comes apart, though? No, I guess it doesn't. I wonder
actually,
if it was armor
it
for something.
Actually, what it looks like is Armada... Or not Armada, Energon Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, I'm trying to actually think about... It almost kind of looks like a reimagination of Hotshot. Or Hotspot, pardon me.
I mean, he's very Ultra Magnusy in color.
Yeah.
It's just there's very little about him that's Ultra Magnus.
I would have bought a Power Master Ultra Magnus.
Sure. Power Master Ultra Magnus would have been awesome.
I guess.
Also, the original Power Master Prime with the triple changing head would have been fun, even if the concept art looked really kind of crazy.
I've never seen that. What is that?
Really? What?
The triple changing roll bar. He turned the head of Power Master Optimus Prime turned into a roll bar.
Really?
And I think a robot. I think a mini head.
Really?
Robot.
Where is
and
this?
A big head. It's on.
Is this on the wiki?
Yeah,
it's on the What This Face. I guess it's on the wiki, but it's on Jim Sorensen's site.
Is it really? Well, I gotta check this out.
Line art. It's line art.
Is it from the? Is it from the Arc Addendum, or is it from something else?
Yeah.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. Even if it came out as kind of goofy as the line art looks, it still would have been awesome. Because he's got like giant wheels on the back of his head.
Oh yeah, there it is. Wow.
Is it on the wiki? Is that where you got it?
I'm looking at Disciples of Boltax.
Okay.
Here, JD, I can get
you. Here's the link right now.
Yeah, if you can get me a link pretty quick, that'd
I'll put
be
it in the
awesome.
Chat. Put it in the chat. Yeah. Chat. This is it. You know, one thing I want to start doing, it was Diecast that tweeted this to us. I'd heard about it just that morning, was about the Google Hangouts. I've been wanting to do that forever. We really need to do that.
Yeah, because you can do the whole public hangout.
Yeah, so. How about instead of doing the third party bit each month, or maybe we do like two normal shows, and then like a third party roundup, and maybe a hangout per month, just to mix things up.
You could do a hangout once a month just for fun.
Yeah. Or, yeah, it doesn't have to be the show. It could be separate from.
Diecast wants to do that.
Yeah, I know. I want to do it. I've been wanting to do it. When I found out about that happening, I thought that was really cool.
Huh. I don't know if I'm behind that or not, the head thing. I don't know.
I would have bought it if had the thing existed.
Now, what I want a third party to do now, though, is make a replacement Power Master Optimus Prime Headmaster head. That's what I want. Do that.
The thing is, he connects with a peg, though. I mean,
that's fine.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the fact that Power Masters actually give you the stats of the Headmasters give you the stats of the.
That's true.
The toy.
Yeah,
actually, I need to get those.
Re-engineer the toy to do that.
Yeah.
That's why I'm still mad that they didn't have third party, because I wanted to get those damned Headmaster heads.
And if you re-engineered Power Master Prime, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. Wait, never mind.
It wouldn't be a brick anymore.
I love that toy. I fully recognize that it's terrible, but I love that toy.
Yeah, it was. That's probably the most I've spent in one, I think, go on a toy. No, I guess it was on Brave Max, but I still have is the the God Ginray reissue.
Triplett bought that for $30.
God, I hate him. I hate him so much.
I paid $100 for it.
I almost want to drive to North Carolina to beat the shit out of him. Like, no reason. Just show up at his door and be like, oh, hey, Chris. And then just beat the shit out of him.
I'll share this one, actually.
And then he'll be like, why? Because you paid $30 for something I paid $150 for, you son of a bitch.
You paid $150 for that? That's more than I paid for Brave Max when I got it the first time.
That's more than I paid for my car.
Not this time.
I pre-ordered it. I, like, pre-ordered it from Hobby Link Japan, like, when they first came out. So
that reminds me,
Japanese
though,
people are not
Hobby Link. I just don't vaguely want to get a Fire Guts Ginray.
I saw one at BotCon. It was too much.
Yeah, you guys, you're probably talking about the North American Toys R Us release of that. No, no. I was an asshole and bought the Japanese re-release when it came out, got it from Hobby Link Japan, so I had to pay the Japanese price plus the freaking
No. The commemorative edition costs more than the Japanese version because the Japanese version is incredibly common. You can still get it pretty cheap.
But I bought it when it first came out.
I did too.
Now, but
Triplett waited 3 years.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
He still got the Japanese, because now it's no different.
The series Apex Armor Prime at like $30. You know.
Yeah.
I think I saw Apex Armor Prime once in the store ever.
Mm. Well, you suck then. How much was that Fire Guts Ginray you saw at BotCon?
150, something like that.
Oh, shit, I probably wouldn't have bought that.
I wouldn't.
I wish I would have remembered that I wanted one before I went to BotCon.
Now, what I still want, and I will never ever have, is that frickin' powered convoy that I wanted, that I could have got for like $100. Now it goes for like $4.
Oops. Mm-hmm.
Very angry.
I saw...
The original Ultra Magnus?
Yeah, well, I mean, the eHobby exclusive repaint, yeah.
Gotcha.
You know, I still, the box is tore up, unfortunately, because my rats got to it. But I've got the
rats.
I had rats
as pets, or you had rats.
I had pet rats.
Okay, I just never heard anyone refer to like vermin in their home.
No,
that
I,
wasn't.
I had the horrors. I had pet rats, okay. And they had this bad habit of breaking out of their cage, and then they would chew up my toys. But I had the anniversary Optimus that comes with, it's the original G1, it came with the mouse pad and the Matrix
and the
Action Master Optimus.
Yeah.
I think that was the New Year's.
It was New Year's.
Yeah, New Year's, that's what it was.
I never picked that up.
I saw one of those at BotCon. Hmm.
Yeah, that was easy to get a hold of when it first came out, but ever since then, I mean, it's still not like really expensive, but
yeah,
it goes for more than the original asking price of about $80.
Yeah, that sucks because my box is all tore up. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there's so many different reissues of G1 Convoy now that if you want one, same thing for Megatron, if you want one, you can get one. There's no demand whatsoever for G1 Convoy.
Well, and it's not about that. It's like the extras that came, because it came with that Matrix necklace and stuff. So I think that was something that people wanted at the time. I know there's other versions.
I still wish I had that mouse pad so that I could use it.
Oh, it's a shit little mouse pad.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's microscopic. I mean, it's like, it's not nearly enough real estate for me.
Yeah. You know, we should probably play New Soundwave.
Yeah, let's play New Soundwave.
Yeah.
Do we have to?
Do it.
Yeah, we have to play New Soundwave. So that's Radio Free Cybertron for this week. We will be back next week. Check us out at tfradio.net. Don't forget to listen to or watch the interview with John Barber at fanboyversus.com. Is it fanboy-versus or just fanboyversus?
Fanboyversus.com.
Yeah, you can watch that. Okay. It's episode 100. So for the guys, we'll be back next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.